think I haven't said that out loud because like how I feel about my body. I don't know, I'm almost embarrassed that I feel that way.
Sure.
Because I feel like I shouldn't feel that way. And then I'm like, what? I'm going to sit here and complain about the fact that my body's changing because I'm pregnant. And yeah. It just feels really dumb.
So what are we naming our son?
We are naming our son.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Micah.
It's weird hearing each other call each other.
It is.
The actual name.
Yeah, it was funny.
Like, do you find it weird whenever I say your name? Like, when I'm like,
yes, only like if you're talking to someone else, it's not weird. But if you're addressing me, yeah. I'm like, what? Is it something serious?
Yeah. Whoa, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Or like, this must be very important.
Yeah. It's so funny because we just like rename each other like babe. Mm-hmm. Right. That's your basically what you call your name for me. Mm-hmm. Not baby.
No.
You don't like baby.
I don't like baby.
You don't like sweetheart.
I hate sweetheart.
You don't like sweetie.
I hate sweetie. I absolutely hate sweetie. to my core. hate.
Doesn't your dad call you sweetheart or sweetie?
I don't mind it when, with the parents.
Right.
My dad does call me sweetie.
Yeah, you like it. You like it coming from him, but anybody else, it's like, you're not my dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of
I guess it feels? That must be it. I don't know. I just like really don't like it.
Yeah, that's never been a fan of yours when it comes to pet names.
I've never been a fan of it.
Oh, right. And in turn, it's never been a fan of mine. Yeah. It's like, what did I ever do? Yeah. I guess it was, why don't you like baby either?
I don't know. It also just feels placating for some reason. Mm. I don't know. I really only want like an older Southern woman to call me baby.
Sure, like, oh, come here, baby.
Yeah.
Come here, sweetie.
Or like my grandma. Sweetie,
they could.
My grandma can call me whatever she wants.
Yeah, that's true. What if she called you dumb idiot?
That would be shocking. That would be really shocking. I don't know how I'd respond to that. Just imagining my grandma saying that to me.
Like, well, I did say,
let her call me whatever she wants. That's on me.
Yeah, exactly. So careful what you say and what you wish for.
Oh, I didn't wish for it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess you didn't.
I wish my grandma would call me a dumb idiot. just kidding, grandma.
Yeah. Since we're talking about names.
What were we talking about? Oh, like nicknames.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a name picked out for our son.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had the name picked out before we even conceived.
Our first child. I really don't like that word.
What?
I don't know why. I know it's the technical word.
Yeah.
Just don't like it.
Similar to sweetie
and conceived. No, thank you.
Okay. Put it on the note, but start making a list. No conceived, no sweetie, no moist.
Moist doesn't bother me. Yeah.
Okay. That can be deleted.
but yes, even before I ever got pregnant.
Even before conception.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So that's fine.
That's better.
All right. Before we even thought about physical intimacy.
Before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. That's what my grandma would always say.
Well, we didn't think about it that far in advance. But we did have this name pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't like we came to an agreement pretty early on with this. And now when it came to a girl name, we didn't have one. We had some floating around, but nothing that we felt like super confident. And that's the one. So it's a good thing we're having a boy, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm boring you.
You're not, babe. You're not.
Just pregnant.
Yeah. Just always a little bit sleepy.
So what are we naming our son?
We are naming our son Shelton.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's my maiden last name.
Yeah.
We talked about this on our last podcast about like legacy, mm-hmm, and wanting things to continue on, and how I started thinking about how like if I didn't have a kid, then that would kind of be the end of the Shelton line.
Mm.
And I just really didn't like that.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel the same way about the name. And so I've always, because I knew I wanted to take my husband's last name when I got married, but I also kind of had in my head that I wanted to keep my maiden name somehow alive in one way or another. And I don't know when the first time I thought of it. Actually, you know what? Maybe this is embarrassing. Maybe it's not. But on the teen drama, One Tree Hill.
Oh, boy.
Literally all of the characters, because there's a time jump where the characters go from high school to adulthood. Uh-huh. And literally every character names their baby the woman's last name.
Oh.
Like there's one that's ends up named Jamie because it was James. What's her last name? His name's actually James. He just goes by Jamie. Like they all do it as they have babies. That's what they all do. And I was like, I actually really like that idea. Mm. So thanks, One Tree Hill, for the idea.
It's all thanks to you. But I like it. It's a great first name as well. I think, yeah. Like Shelton Wallace. Mm-hmm. We also have a middle name.
Yes, we do.
And it is...
Can share it?
Yeah, we haven't shared this yet. This will be the first time we share it. So it is Shelton James Wallace. And it's my middle name. And I just think it's such a great name.
It's a great name.
Great middle name. Great first name, really, too. Yeah. But I would just... It makes such a... I think strong middle name. Maybe yeah. I'm biased because it's mine, but Shelton James Wallace will be his name.
Yeah. I think it's a very, like, I don't know what this means, but.
Regal?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know if regal is the right word.
Regal? I don't know. It just sounds like very strong, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a good, strong name.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to inherit our, like, musical capabilities?
I don't know.
That was a question somebody had. It's like, do you think he's going to inherit, like, you know, your musicality and your dancing ability and stuff like that?
I think it would be pretty shocking if our child was like tone deaf.
I mean, I don't know the biology behind this, like, or the science.
What kind of Punnett square tells me if my kid will be able to sing?
It would be such a small percentage if our child, I think it's a pretty small percentage in the world
of people that are actually
tone deaf that can't even hear a note as it is. But then to be a son or daughter of two people who can sing and, you know, are performers, that would be shocking.
Yeah.
It would be shocking.
If he can't carry a tune, it would definitely be surprising. But will he want to do anything with it? That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I do not know. I could see him wanting to, and I could also see him, like,
especially if we're still kind of doing our thing,
yeah,
and if we're still, like, performing at that time, and mm-hmm. as he's grown up and seeing us do that, and if we're having a lot of fun doing it, then maybe he's gonna want to jump on board with that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of it is what you see growing up. You know, you hear, well, I became a doctor because my dad's a doctor. I became a physician because my dad's inefficient. What? Didn't say.
Aren't a physician and a doctor the same thing?
Oh, a physician and a doctor? Fact check.
Physician is another word for doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, to see cum sa. You hate that.
Speaking of words I hate.
But all that being said is.
But maybe not. He could want to do something completely different.
I mean, yeah.
Which would be cool.
Watch him just be like an accountant.
Hey, if that's what he loves, by all means.
Yeah.
By all means, but that would mean he got, I don't, obviously be very different than us.
It would be. And I wouldn't really know how to help him out on that
category. How to become an accountant. Yeah. Me neither. Just go to school, I guess.
Do you not care at all? Like what his interests are?
No, I don't. I don't care.
I don't think I do either. Although like thinking about him having similar likes that I do is a nice thought so that we can bond over something.
Totally. But it doesn't have to be like what he chooses to invest
his life in. I mean, I definitely couldn't care less if he wants to do social media. That's for gosh darn sure.
I mean,
sir.
That will look, sir. Gosh darn for sure. Well, that will look completely different anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
you think?
5 years from now, wonder. 10 years from now,
who knows
what it will look like anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. But you also have a lot of varied interests, so there's bound to be something that you guys will
anime.
Both like.
I don't like playing football, but I like watching it. Mm-hmm. I liked playing basketball. I like playing golf. I like ping pong. Mm-hmm. Anime. Have I said anime?
You did mention anime. You did.
Singing, dancing, I like to eat.
So many hobbies.
I like to go to restaurants and experiences. I like to try new things. Yeah. I like long walks on the beach. I'm like building a Tinder profile. Yeah,
yes, exactly. Dating profile here. No, I don't care. I don't care what he does. What I care about are the values through which he makes his decisions.
Yeah.
And the way that he treats other people.
Yeah.
That's what matters in my opinion.
Totally.
Obviously I've never parented a child, so I know nothing, but that's what I care about. And I feel like that's what we can instill. I can't force him to like something that he doesn't like, you know,
right.
And I would never want to, but what we can share are the values through which we live our life, like the mission statement of our family, and hope that our example makes him want to be a part of that, you know, yeah. And carry it on.
It's overwhelming to think about a little bit sometimes when you're, I can see why parents can put so much pressure on themselves, because you're kind of like forming this person's, as I don't know, like to a degree, forming their values and their beliefs. And I think there's still a very much importance to instill what you think are good values, mm-hmm. and beliefs into, but ultimately they're going to grow up and then they're going to have to come to terms of what their values really are and
for
what
sure.
their beliefs really are.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And so I think when you, that can kind of take the pressure off a little bit to know that, you know, you can do the best you can. And then ultimately your child is going to have to make those decisions as they grow up.
Yeah. I don't know if it theoretically can take the pressure off, but still.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah. Still as a parent,
that's going to be a whole new like season of life, is just like learning how to parent. Cause right now you're doing most of the work and, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then the first year it's just like they cry, poop and sleep, mm-hmm. and then eat, you know, it's just like keeping him alive. Mm-hmm. I think there will be, as much as there's sleepless nights, there's probably going to be a lot of like, wow, this is like so amazing. Like mm-hmm. we have this child and yeah. kind of like whimsical.
And the first time for everything.
Yeah. And then the terrible twos and the terrible threes and terrible fours. You know, everybody has different ages where it's just like, you know, they're becoming, they're like growing a conscience and learning how to talk and talk back and all these things. And mm-hmm. knowing exactly how to parent and how to discipline, how much reward do we give? Like, is that the best way to go about that? I mean, mm-hmm. there's just like so many ways that you can parent a kid. Mm-hmm. It can be a little daunting to think about, man, how do I not mess up my kid
yeah.
as much as possible?
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't stress me out at all for some
reason. It doesn't?
No.
We're lucky to have people in our life mm-hmm. as well, and like different resources that we can utilize and, mm-hmm. and go to. I think that is a beauty of the time we live in now, is like there can be some really amazing information
yeah.
that you can get a hold of.
For sure.
When it comes to anything. I mean, parenting and going through pregnancy, and mm-hmm. there's just so much information out there. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's, you got to kind of figure out what is going to be legit and not, but
yeah. I think what aligns with what you want, what aligns with what's going to help you, and mm-hmm. what's irrelevant to you. I don't know. It's just for me, like I get overwhelmed by the amount of information there is out there.
Yeah.
So I just prefer to ask someone that I know and trust,
right.
You know? So yeah. that's like,
and then maybe they'll direct you to right, a podcast to like, or a
source.
A book or
yeah,
something.
Exactly. Exactly. So then it's like, I don't have to dig through resources. I can just ask someone who I trust, who's already walked the path, for what resources helped them.
Yeah.
And I think the same for me in pregnancy. Like I honestly thought I would be way more into like research and learning when it comes to pregnancy, but I'm kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
You're designed to do it. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like
as long as you're not just like pounding cocaine and,
well,
you know, drinking a handle every night.
The things I decided to take those habits on in pregnancy.
But outside of like very obvious things, yeah. it's just like your body will know what to do.
Yeah.
It's designed, you know.
Yeah.
How have you been feeling by the way, you're four, right now you're 14 and a half weeks, right?
Yeah, coming up on 15. To 15. I'll be 15 in 2 days.
Yeah. So while, by the time this comes out, you'll be 15. Mm-hmm. So now that the second trimester is afoot, mm-hmm. how have you been feeling? Is it easier than the first trimester?
So far, I don't really feel that different. I will say that I haven't been nauseous every day, which is nice. So I feel like that's lessening. I will say that I've still been pretty, my energy depletes much easier than, much more than what I'm used to.
Even now? I know that was the case in the first trimester.
Yeah, I mean, because we just had a really busy weekend.
Yeah.
And like last night, yesterday, I like really didn't feel that good all day long. Mm. I had a headache. I just felt really lethargic. Like I just wanted to like sit quietly with my eyes closed.
Because we were going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd been going for like, you know, three straight days of activity.
Yeah.
And which was amazing. But then sleeping last night, I feel like I got a really good night's sleep. So I felt a lot better when I woke up. I just think bad quality sleep impacts me much more
now,
than usual. Cause it's like,
I feel that now and I'm not grown a human being.
But normally I can, you know, if I wake up a few times in the middle of the night, well, normally I sleep pretty well. Like I don't wake up a lot. I don't toss and turn really frequently.
Yeah.
I have noticed more of that in pregnancy, waking up more throughout the night. I'm not even like going to the bathroom or anything. I just wake up.
So you're still getting nauseous at night?
I did a few nights ago, but I didn't last night. So it's just like here and there.
Yeah.
It's definitely lessening. It's much less. It's less like I feel when I do feel a little bit nauseous, it's less.
Yeah.
Even though the energy, I don't necessarily need to sleep 10 hours a night like I did for a portion of the first trimester.
Yeah.
It's just that I need to get good quality sleep. And if I don't sleep well, I feel it.
So I know we talked about this earlier today, but how have you been feeling? Because I know we've been doing like bump updates.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until today that how much that has been kind of affecting you.
Well, I like the
when it comes
the,
to I your
like
body.
The like bump updates. Those are fine. It's when I see like other photos of myself mm-hmm. that I'm like, why do I look like that?
You mean pregnant?
Like I look big.
You mean pregnant? Yeah. I have to like keep reminding. I feel like I have to keep reminding you that you're growing a human.
I mean,
being
I'm aware that I'm pregnant.
The but midsection.
Yes, I get that. It's just, it's just such a weird sensation to feel like your body is outside of your control.
Yeah.
And I was saying what I was saying to you earlier is I'm like, I still need to like detach. Caring about
like vanity.
Yes, like vanity.
Yeah.
Because I've just always been fit.
Yep.
And I've been blessed.
You also work very hard.
Yeah, I've been blessed. But
you've been blessed with good genetics.
Yes, yes. I've been blessed when it comes to my metabolism and the way that I'm built. Mm-hmm. But I've just always been fit. So when I'm like, when I look in the mirror, it's just weird. It's just a weird thing.
Sure.
And it still doesn't feel real almost, even though like we know the gender, we have a name, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's still aspects that I'm just like, sometimes I feel like it hasn't even really sunk in. So then
you just see your body.
So then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, that's what's supposed to be happening.
Right. Right. I love your belly.
I know.
I love your belly.
You're really sweet about it.
And I love touching it. I just think it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that just to say it. I just think like I look at it and I just like get emotional because I'm like, wow, like you're growing a human being in there. You're growing our son.
Yeah.
It's like such a miracle. And so I just like, yeah.
It makes me emotional when I hear you talk about it. Because it's also like, I think I haven't said that out loud because like how I feel about my body, because it's like kind of, I don't know. I'm almost embarrassed that I feel that way.
Sure.
Cause I feel like I shouldn't feel that way. And it's like, there's so many people that want to get pregnant, that can't, that are struggling to get pregnant. And then I'm like, what? I'm going to sit here and complain about the fact that my body's changing cause I'm pregnant. And it just feels really dumb and immature, you know?
But it's also very human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you're the only one that has had those feelings or thoughts when getting pregnant.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have bigger boobs? Which is a better question.
Also weird. Also weird. And I'm like, why are you so present? Not used to you intruding upon my space like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's such an interesting journey to have just the way that your body changes. And I know that it's like, it is a beautiful thing, and it's truly a miracle. Like, it's absolutely miraculous. Mm-hmm. Which again is why I'm just like, I keep those things, those embarrassing thoughts in my head, because I'm just like, I shouldn't feel that way.
Sure. I think it's a very human thing. Oh. And I love you. And I love your belly, and I think I like this little bump.
You have been singing that a lot.
I have been. And then it's going to grow into, I think I like this big bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right, we got some topics and questions from our followers.
I love questions.
Will you be moving out of New York City since you're having a baby?
What? No.
No, we'll be here for a few more years. I mean, for the foreseeable future. I don't see us moving.
Me neither.
Until it makes sense to.
Yeah. Whenever that may be.
We have our community here.
I definitely need more. Like, that would be a major, I don't know. That's something that, like, God would really have to open up the path for that.
Yeah.
For me. Because for sure. I'm like, this is my home at this point, and I would really need to feel pulled somewhere else, or have a, that would just be a major thing to pray on, and a major, it would just have to, like, God would have to make it very clear that that was what he had for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause right now we have our community here. We have a great apartment that we love. It's two bed, two bath. So, mm-hmm. You know, we can raise one kid for sure here. And then if number two comes along, then we might have to move.
Potentially.
But yeah, it would have to be a big feeling, like, yeah, a pretty strong feeling.
Yeah.
On it would just, doing that.
Like I said, God would have to make it very clear. Cause I want to own a place here.
Yeah.
Eventually. And that might end like, who knows, we may end up like living somewhere else. And then working towards that goal when we live somewhere else. But ultimately I've always wanted to own a place here, and I have not strayed from that. And I stand by that. I'm a New York City gal. I love it here.
Yeah. If you love the city here, yeah, and you like the accessibility and you like food, it's hard to picture going somewhere else.
Especially
that has
once
all that,
especially, well, like, now I've figured it out. Like, we have a great life here. Like, I lived here half the time I lived here. I was so stressed about money, and, you know, we live with roommates for so many years. Like, we've done it all here. Like, we worked our way up,
yeah,
to being able to have a life that is more, like, just more comfortable, if you will.
Yeah.
But it was not always like that. And I like it that way.
Yeah. I mean, before somebody asked about, like, what our jobs were before Beauty and the Beast or during, you know, when we were, like, really pursuing performing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were doing all the, like, restaurant type work,
yeah,
and like temp work and catering and all that stuff.
I babysat. I worked front desk. I worked retail. I worked in restaurants. I was a fitness instructor.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Flywheel.
I temped.
Lululemon.
Yeah. I did anything. I did anything and everything that I could. And none of it was enough. None of it was enough to live, which is, no, why you had to do it all at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, I remember you getting your first paycheck from a retail store that
I won't mention.
I
don't even think it was my first paycheck. I think it was just a paycheck after a few. And I was just like, why, God? Why am I getting paid so little? Yeah,
it was definitely like not even, it was hardly enough to cover rent.
It didn't cover rent.
Yeah. And that was 2 weeks of pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
That's why if you're paying for fully for your own life here, you cannot just work one job. Unless you're working a corporate job, obviously that's right. Different. But if you're an artist and you're working a whole bunch of side gigs, you need like 75 of them.
Yep.
To pay the bills.
For sure.
I love that piece of our story because it built so much character.
Yeah.
To be like, I would receive my paycheck and cry.
Yeah.
Is like just from stress and from exhaustion, because working 7 days a week to barely scrape by got very frustrating after a while.
Yeah. And neither one of us have really like gotten anything easily.
No.
Like everything has come with just like a lot of grinding and working. Mm-hmm. And it's just usually been gradual. We haven't really had any type of explosive results in anything.
No.
I mean, you could say social media, but really we posted 2 to 3 pieces of content every single day for a full year. And then every day for like the next 2 or 3 years. And even then it was just pretty gradual growth.
Yeah. Not to say I won't accept some exponential growth in my future.
Yeah, that's for sure. God. If you're hearing God, we don't always have to struggle before that or have a lot of, you know, or just have to work so hard, but
he doesn't care about that. He knows the level of character that we need to have the impact that we're designed to have. And I really take it as a huge responsibility how much I've had to grow my character over the last 10 years of my life.
And still do.
But I think it's growing, expanding your capacity and growing your character brings with it immense responsibility. And I like that challenge. Like I'm like, the more that I prove that I can handle, the more that I overcome, the more that I don't let circumstances ever prevent me from thinking that I can do something else, move forward, ultimately build the life and the impact that I want to have. I just think that he knows what our character needs to be. And I think it's an immense privilege that he's allowed me to build my character as much as I've had to. We still have a lot, like we have so much life left.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's very easy to think that you're so behind and no matter what the age you're at, you just feel like you're behind because you're comparing yourself to people that seem a lot further along mm-hmm. in life and people that are younger that,
right.
you know, that have millions of dollars and seem like they have their whole life together and are just succeeding in everything that they're doing. Yeah, exactly. And so it's so easy to feel like you are just always playing catch up. But as we all know, comparison is the thief of all joy. And if we didn't have any social media, any TVs, any radio, mm-hmm. and only could communicate via text and calls, I think we would all just be comparing ourselves to our own selves.
Right.
Which is the best person to compare right, yourself to.
Like, how much progress have I made?
Yeah, compare
over the past year.
Yourself to your past self?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, think of yourself 5 years ago and how far have you come in the last 5 years? Just yeah. you versus you.
Oh, this is, it's like, compare yourself to the person you were yesterday.
Mm.
You know, and mm-hmm. then just try to one-up that. Try yeah. to be better. Try to increase your, whether it's productivity or... you know, what your patience or some department, if you can just be better compared to who you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only person you compared yourself to. I mean, I think there would be a lot more happier people.
Of course. And it all comes down to like, whose approval are you seeking?
Did you hear me say more happier?
I sure did.
I knew you would.
I didn't comment on it.
I know you didn't, but I knew you heard it. It's like, wow, what very big of her.
Didn't say a word.
Just move on from that.
Yeah, breeze right past it.
What are our love languages and how do you deal with differing love languages? I'm assuming like in a couple.
Mm.
Well, we have different love languages.
I'd be interested to like take the test again.
I know. I need to retake it too.
I'm kind of like, I'm like all of them.
You're like, I want everything.
Yeah. Because I love quality time. I like physical touch. I like words of affirmation. Honestly, gifts, like, I like gifts, but that's the only one that I'm kind of like,
it's not really. It doesn't fill your tank as much as the other ones.
No, I'd still say that like probably primary is words of affirmation.
Yeah. Is the higher one over acts of service.
Oh, acts of service. That's the other one. Mm-hmm. I do like an act of service.
I know you've said them all.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They're all helpful. I do like touch. Oh, yeah. I do like act of service and words of affirmation.
I know.
And like, quality time.
Yeah, so four of them. I need at least four.
Okay, at least four of the five. I think mine is touch is high, very high.
Yeah.
And that's not just from a partner either. That's just from, like friends, from people that maybe somebody that you look up to. You know, comes over and says, you know, puts their hand on your shoulder and says, or a hug, you know? So I would say touch and acts of service.
Okay.
Like before we kind of learned these things about each other and our temperaments, we were misfiring because words of affirmation is very important to her. Mm-hmm. It's not that important to me. You know, it's nice to hear, but that's not something that really like fills my love tank. And so since that's the case, I would not give her any words of affirmation it would slip my mind because I just didn't think it was that important. I was like, well, she has to know that I love her because I'm doing these things for her, acts of service, which is part of mine. And I'm touching her all the time, my love language.
Yeah.
And so once you learn that about each other, that can definitely help. And when you have differing love languages, I think that's common.
So yeah.
I don't think that's,
you
have to be intentional.
Well, you do have to be very conscious of it. Cause I'm still like, I could use some more words of affirmation.
Yes, she does. She has to remind me. She still has to remind me. And we're 8 years into a relationship. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's 8.
Thing that you have to work on and be conscious of, because if that's not how you're wired or how your love language is, it's not going to be front of mind.
Yeah.
And so
I think also not being afraid to like remind your partner.
Yeah, right.
And then to have a partner that doesn't get defensive about the reminder.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I could use a little bit more of blank. Mm-hmm. And then you have to be willing to accept that.
Yeah.
Right. And reciprocate and not get defensive. Oh, I do. It's just like, okay, obviously you're not doing it enough, or they need a little bit more of that.
Or you can even like set a reminder in your phone. Literally.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's actually a good idea.
Send an affirming text, you know, like
you're recommending that. I do that.
I'm just saying it's a tool that's there to be used by anyone who might need to use it.
Is this a daily thing or is this a weekly thing? Times a week.
I was going to say it's not daily, but it's more than weekly. Friday. I'd say 3 to 4 times a week would be preferable.
Oh, okay.
you
always hear before I go, you look so beautiful today.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here it comes. Yeah, but I also think it depends on whatever's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Because like right now I want words of affirmation about my body because I feel self-conscious.
Right. I've been giving you a lot of words of affirmation.
You have.
Bling. Comment in her bump.
Yeah. And then in other phases of life, I'm like, I need you to literally just text me and tell me that like I'm a badass businesswoman, you know, like that I can do the things that I need to get done for our businesses. Like that's where I want affirmation. I'm a complicated creature.
We all are.
Yeah.
We're all human.
But that's the thing, is like communicating it, not expecting you to read my mind in regards to like, to what I need in the season that we're in.
Gonna have to bleep out bad butt over here.
What? Why?
This is family friendly.
That's hardly a curse word.
And you're just going off your cursing.
Going off?
Yeah, just absolutely going on a tirade over here.
Anyway, what's next?
Going back to your roots.
Way worse than
that. For those
who
don't remember in our last, a couple episodes ago, Sarah used to curse a lot. A sailor. Like a sailor. Like the F-bomb was her best friend. It was as if the F-word was the or
Yeah. He's actually not exaggerating.
No.
But we already talked about that in an episode. So if you want to hear more about that, you can go back and listen.
Oh, snap.
Because we already talked about that. We don't need to rehash.
We don't need to. I thought you were gonna. That's funny. All right. Will Sarah continue her blog?
Yes, I will. Period. Yes, I will. I've just had like such terrible nausea.
Yeah.
From screen, it like makes me feel like
you know, from screens, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like when you get motion sickness in a car. Like if you get motion sickness when you look at your phone in a car, that's what I feel like. But it's when I'm stationary. And it's like from my phone, from the computer monitor. So that has eased up. So yes, I'm going to get back into writing, my blog. And I also really want to write about, like, I've had so many reflections. Pregnancy has brought up so many reflections for me about just life and worth and, you know, I mean, some of the things that we've talked about here. Mm-hmm. And I want to document those things because I want to be able to, I don't know, we're not having a daughter this time, but like, I want to be able to share those things with younger women or like mm-hmm. women who have never gone through a pregnancy. Like, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I wish I had.
I mean, also going through a pregnancy after miscarriage is like a whole another
yeah.
like aspect yeah, to it. Yeah,
it's like
as
a
well.
Different experience.
Yeah.
It's its own experience. And there probably are resources out there, honestly, in regards to like just being a woman and having normal self-image stuff that comes up when you right. get pregnant. There probably are resources out there and people that share about their experiences. I just haven't happened to find one.
Yeah.
So to be able to be a resource for that would be a resource for that.
Yeah, I think you would be a great resource. Also, you're just so good at writing. And so I can see why people are missing your blogs.
They're coming back. Just yeah. the vertigo had to go or whatever you want to call it.
The vertigo had to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To answer your question, she will be continuing her blog and it'll be a lot of really great content, I'm sure, about her pregnancy journey and all the stuff that she just shared with you. I was about to just like repeat everything you were saying. Mm-hmm. Ideas on how to encourage others to stick with God during hard times. I don't know if that's just like in general or if that's like wanting encouragement through going to hard times.
I think if you're, I'm hearing it as how to encourage other people.
Oh, how to encourage other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's obviously that's different for everyone.
Yeah.
And it really, whether people lean in or pull away from God when they're going through hard times is determined upon what they believe about God's character. That's what I believe. Because if you believe that the character of God is one that is wrathful, vengeance, angry, doing these things, mm-hmm. causing these things, then why are you going to lean into that? But if you believe the character of God that is displayed in the Bible of redemption, of faithfulness to his people, of steadfastness, of unconditional love, then it's like, why would I not lean into that?
Right.
So if someone has a lens of God that's incorrect, it's really hard to encourage them to lean in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not really much that you can do to change their view of God's character, in my opinion. If they're open to hearing, also depends on how open they are, how much they're asking.
How much trust is there and
yeah.
how much they value, you know, what you, like your opinion
yeah.
and value your insight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to really sway somebody's mind, especially in beliefs. This is such a like mm-mm. personal thing that mm-hmm. everyone has to go on mm-hmm. for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like you persuading somebody that isn't asking for it,
mm-hmm.
that person's not gonna, you're not, it's like trying to move a building mm-hmm. with yourself mm-hmm. and no machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
And so you lead by example and then you have honest conversation with people that are open and wanting to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that beliefs should be shoved down people's throats, because you're not gonna,
they can't be,
it won't be received.
And if you have a friend who's going through something difficult, and you know, they don't have a faith, they're kind of being totally reliant on themselves, then you have to pray for that person. You have to pray that, well, this is what I do. I'm like, God, please make yourself known to so-and-so. Like, make your presence in so-and-so's life known to them. Help them experience you for who you truly are, because they don't know who you truly are. And the only way that they can is if you show them. So help them experience you for your character, for what it truly is. Mm-hmm. That's what I pray for people.
Right. And a way that can happen is through the fruit in your life. If they're paying attention.
That's true.
And so they'll know you by your fruits, mm-hmm. as opposed to you talking at people. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a more powerful testimony.
Yeah.
A more powerful message.
Yeah. You are, like, we are the message through.
We are the world.
By the way in which we live our lives and how we treat people, and especially how we treat people who believe differently than we do.
Yep.
Especially, which I think is so, our willingness to be around people who think differently than we do, believe differently than we do. And
because Christians can be some of the most judgmental people.
Oh, judgmental. So it's judgmental. Like,
that's literally the opposite, right, what God called us to be.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I don't blame people for being irritated by that.
Yeah, of course.
And feeling like they're being looked down on.
Oh my gosh. You know? Absolutely. And it's the worst. I feel like that.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I'm a pretty strong Christian.
Yeah.
Like, I don't shy away from my beliefs.
Right.
I'm pretty rooted in my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And I feel looked down upon from some people.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes just because, like, I live in New York City.
Right.
Like, how could a Christian live in New York City? And I'm like,
that's such a silly thing.
I'm sorry.
That's such a dumb. That is so dumb.
Have you read the Bible? Like, Jesus went to the darkest places.
Yeah.
Also, there's a ton of Christians in New York City.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very
silly. Or it's
silly.
Like, if you want to stay in your environment where everyone believes the same as you, what are you really accomplishing?
Right.
What are you really doing? Because no one sees you except for people that already agree with you.
That's the problem with politics too and all that, like, which this isn't. We're not going to get into any of that, but
no.
It's just like,
no,
that's just what happens in, you know, whether it's far left, far right.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think
it's all people. It's a human thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You get around people and you research the things that are just going to continue to
confirmation bias.
Yes. Confirm your own bias and confirm your own beliefs. And there's a really good book called Think Again by Adam Grant. Mm-hmm. If you haven't read it, that is great. I think it's such a great book and such an important one that I wish everybody would read, because it's just talking about the idea of, you know, when you feel super strong about a particular thing or get really triggered by somebody else believing in a different way, mm-hmm. maybe that's a good indicator of, like, just taking a step back and thinking again, mm-hmm. thinking about, oh, why am I triggered by that? Mm-hmm. Why does that irritate me so much? Mm-hmm. Why do I believe in the things that I believe in? Mm-hmm. Is it just because my parents do?
Right.
Or is it because I really do believe it?
Right.
And why? Mm-hmm. Those can be some good and kind of hard questions to go through, mm-hmm. of really, like, why do you believe what you believe? Mm-hmm. And that can go political, that can go, you know, faith, that can go whatever.
Yeah, literally about anything.
Your finances.
About yourself.
About yourself. Yes, for sure. What do you believe about yourself?
Mm-hmm. And why?
Whether it's negative or positive. But man, yeah, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If you believe in yourself, we can end with this, but if you believe in yourself, it doesn't matter if no one else believes in you.
Yeah.
You'll be able to accomplish most things that you put your mind to. Mm-hmm. If you believe in yourself, and it doesn't matter if no one else believes in you.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do it just because you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
However, the opposite is also true. If everyone else believes in you, but you don't believe in yourself,
yeah,
then you're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
You're gonna be able to, you're gonna self-sabotage in everything that you do.
Yeah.
Because you have zero belief in yourself, and it doesn't really matter if everybody else believes in you, but if you don't believe in yourself, what's that going to do?
Yep.
Like it's only going to get you so far.
Yep.
Yeah. Belief is a very powerful thing.
It is.
You know, everybody has to go on that journey for themselves of, you know, what they believe in exactly. But it seems like I see a through line of people that have a strong faith and a strong belief, whether it's in God or a higher power or something greater than themselves, mm-hmm. they typically have a little bit more peace in their life, mm-hmm. and fulfillment, and I guess purpose, that than people that don't.
Yeah. Cause not everything's up to them. It's not all, they don't have to just muscle everything to make it happen.
Yeah.
Cause they're partnering with someone greater than them.
That's always when I'm the most anxious is when I'm thinking about things that I'm controlling, mm-hmm. or that I can't control.
Right, trying to control things that you can't control.
Controlling things that I can't control is when I have the most anxiety.
Yep.
And the most stress.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah.
I have to do those check-ins when I feel myself kind of rising in temperature and just getting headaches and different things. It's like, okay, why? Oh, it's because I'm focusing on all these variables that I have no control over.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take some breaths. Let's release it, mm-hmm. and surrender the mm-hmm. results. I'm doing what I can do. I'm doing the best that I can. Mm-hmm. And it's like work like it's up to you. Pray like it's up to God. And then
that's it.
Yeah.
What was that?
I was going to say he'll do the rest, but then you started talking and I didn't want to interrupt. So I went, he'll do. Well, this has been lovely.
Yeah, it has been.
I noticed whenever you're talking to somebody when you're talking, you'll forget to breathe. You'll like talk and you'll kind of like use all your exhale. And then once you finish your sentence, you'll take a huge breath. It's as if you just climbed a mountain.
Yep. Just sitting here.
Just sitting here. Yep. Well, I can't wait to see our son.
Still got a while.
I know. But
me too.
I'm sure. And as always, we like to end our podcast by saying goodbye. Okay.
Is that like dissident?
I think so. You seem like you were caught off guard with the good. We weren't really on cue there.
Well, I hadn't like chosen my note. And then I was like, this is happening so fast.
That's the whole point of it. You don't. You do the first thing that comes to mind.
I know.
You literally like to end our podcast by saying, goodbye.
I just felt like I couldn't even find a note in my head.
Find a note.
Yeah.
Any note.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a no note.
Yeah. A noise. Love you.